Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Brian Geltzer from SiriusXM NBA Radio. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good, guys. How we doing?
Hi, Brian.
We're doing good. I think we're just kind of hunkered down, almost like you're going on a roller coaster ride when they bring the big bar over your shoulders to make sure that you're strapped in. That's what the third quarter feels like in this series between the Cavs and Magic. I'm just worried about the Hills.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's funny because the Magic are offensively challenged, yet they get in their own building and they have these little things. Franz Wagner shooting 28% from three this year. You look at what he did in game four and you're like, how the hell did that happen? No, I mean, but it's just like, that's kind of where you get stuck on this thing. Like it's kind of nuts. Listen, I worry about the Cavs' propensity to fold up their tents emotionally when they hit some tough spots. It's a strange dynamic with this team, incredibly talented, but at times not physically aggressive, at times selfish, other times almost too unselfish. And there's just, it's a lot of talented players that don't seem to be meshing well together. Orlando's a feisty team. Orlando's on the come. They're going to be a lot better here in these years to come with this young group. But my worry for the Cavs in this series, and again, it's a three-game series right now. Two of them are going to be in Cleveland. The Cavs still hold that advantage and have home court and all that. My only worry about this series is we know somewhere along the lines for one of these teams to get the four wins, everybody's going to hit the skids and have some adversity. And when I look at the way all the adversity is handled, Orlando's level of togetherness / connectedness with one another, both basketball-wise and to not get too crazy, but spiritually as well, they seem to trust each other a heck of a lot more. I don't see that same connectedness and vibe with the Cavs on both of those fronts.
So, Brian, is that on the players? Is that on the coach? Is that on the front office to put the team together?
Listen, here's the thing. I'll tell you this. And I was on, I believe it was your channel a couple weeks back, and I was extolling the virtues of J.B. Bickerstaff because I do think he's in a very, very tough spot here because you have players that flat out don't like playing with each other. And when you have talented guys that believe in their own abilities and have played without the guys they don't like playing with, I'm talking about Garland and Mitchell, and have had success, it becomes very hard to get these guys to buy into a bigger picture. I thought it would get easier after they had, 17-18 earlier in the year, that big string in the middle of the season, and they didn't have Garland and Mobley during it. And I thought kind of when Garland came back, there would be this massive deference to Donovan Mitchell. It's happened a little bit, but it's happened somewhat begrudgingly. And I will say this. I don't think Bickerstaff's done a bad job, but if the Cavs don't win this series, I hate to say it because, again, I think he's done a decent job. He's got to go. I think, and only for the fact that you're going to have, you can't run this thing back again. You're going to have to make significant changes. And the other thing that you keep in mind, there may be a major direction shift. If Donovan Mitchell doesn't put his name on a contract extension, he'll be somewhere else next year. The Cavs don't have a choice because he has value right now. And the longer you go into a contract with him not being willing to extend, i.e. unhappy, the larger trouble you're going to have getting a big package back for him. And listen, and this is also the other unfortunate part for the Cavs. Packages for these types of players peaked when the Cavs traded for Mitchell. So, like, you're going to see a lot this summer with stars being on the market, and the price tag for these stars is not going to be what teams gave up for them, i.e. maybe Donovan Mitchell, maybe a Kevin Durant situation, but there's no way the Suns recoup that value. The Cavs are in that spot with Mitchell. They would ideally like to see him sign that extension and maybe be able to move on from Garland. So I'll say this, between Garland, Mitchell, and Bickerstaff, if the Cavs lose this series, we're only going to see at most one of them back next year.
Any way we could see a Mitchell, Garland, hey, we got to get through this together. We want to win. We want to – like, I just – the way you watch those first four games, I agree with what you're saying, that the chemistry is not there. I just don't know. If it's not there for the first four games, what makes me believe it's going to be there for at least the next two games?
Zero, zilch, and nada. It won't be there. And I think some of this stuff that we're seeing and we're discussing that we're seeing, we saw last year in the first round against New York. And listen, I was, you know, in that Cavs locker room after, I forget what game it was, after one of the games in the Garden last year. You felt it. You just felt it. There was, listen, Donovan Mitchell is a terrific player. He also carries himself like he's a big star. And I think when you have other guys that believe in their ability and are very good players, Garland, Mobley, Allen's a little bit of an odd duck. And I kind of, you know, I don't know that he necessarily worries so much about that stuff, but certainly the other two guys, it, you know, that can be a little bit off-putting when you feel like you have a lot of ability. Mitchell looks at it like he's the guy and everyone else is his supporting cast. And I think you have, that's always a fragile and tenuous dynamic that has to be managed a little bit. And I don't know that Mitchell cares as the leader to manage it all that much. So, you know, in terms of what's going to change, I don't really think anything is going to change. With that said, the Cavs have won two games at home. They've defended fantastic in those two games they won at home. And granted, Orlando's an offensively challenged team. We understand that. That outside of Banchero and the occasional game like game four where Wagner gets going, there's no other reliable offensive option. They're mixing and matching night in and night out to find that guy behind Banchero that can do it. So it's not the toughest offensive team in the world, but the Cavs have bared down. And I think to answer your question, if the Cavs can find a way to win this series and then go face Boston and give Boston everything they can handle, even if they don't win the series, but, you know, find some daylight in that series, play well together, maybe that puts everybody in a little bit of a different place. I just think that that possibility is extremely remote.
What do you think's going on with Donovan Mitchell? Jeff and I think he's – I mean, he took that shot to the ribs in game one. We know he's had knee problems. Going into this thing, he says, "Hey, something's not right," but he doesn't
say anything.
Yeah, he's not really saying anything about his health. But Jeff and I are both kind of sitting here going, "There's no way he's healthy." I just don't get it how he can be good in the first half and then obscure in the second half, and it was dangerous for them in Orlando. And if that happens again in Cleveland, forget about it.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you. I don't think he's healthy. And I think what's happening to him in these games is that what Orlando did is they, you know, certainly upgraded the level of physicality on him in the games in Orlando, and he didn't respond well. So he's going to see a lot of that again tonight. I think they're going to be very, very physical with him to a point where I'd almost tell you that I'd rather the Cavs don't go to him a lot early and work the Garland-Allen pick and roll, put Mobley in the dunker spot, get Mitchell off on a wing. Not that you don't want Mitchell to get going and get off, but I think you want to get these other guys going and let the defense start to worry a little bit more about what they're dealing with Garland-Allen Mobley-wise than have to go and turn around and be able to be hyper-focused on Mitchell. I've said this in the past. Listen, Garland will run an offense. And Garland hasn't been good this year. I've been very disappointed with him. I think he's a very, very talented player. He has played way below what his talent level is. But Garland's a guy, when he has it going right, will get an offense going by being willing to get rid of the ball quickly and move well off the ball, knowing he'll get it back. Donovan Mitchell needs it in his hands a lot. and Donovan Mitchell will dribble out shot clocks, and he'll put up assist numbers, but they're never the hockey assist. It's always the assist that leads to the basket type of thing. He's not moving the ball with the offense. And what does that mean? Well, listen, if he's being productive and they're winning games and they're scoring a lot of points, it's fine. The problem becomes is you get other guys who become stagnant in an offense and don't move a lot and don't want to get involved because they're standing there watching Mitchell dribble the shot clock out trying to make a move. So, like, some of this is style of play stuff that doesn't necessarily fit with how they operate here. So, I kind of feel like, you can let Mitchell be Mitchell by not having to run everything through him early. One thing I'll say about JB here as a little bit of a criticism, which how he runs his offense, he doesn't necessarily take advantage of all of the weapons that he has over the course of a long game. And I think you're seeing the physicality with Mitchell in the second halves, and he appears to be wearing down because he's not healthy. And you're seeing the Philadelphia with Embiid right now. What happened to him in the fourth quarter on Sunday? My point being is that I think in general, Bickerstaff, like Nick Nurse in Philly, needs to do a much better job of, pacing his star player to make sure that he's got a little bit of freshness in the fourth quarter. Fatigue is, we love as fans and media members say, well, you're tired, you got to push through, it's no excuse. That's easy for us to say, sit where we're sitting. When you're the guy on the floor and you're worn down and you're exhausted, it's tough finding the energy sometimes. Your coach has to help you and your coach has to pace you. And I don't think that's happened with Bickerstaff and Mitchell. Certainly don't think it's happening when Nick Nurse and Joel Embiid do it.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us from SiriusXM NBA Radio. You mentioned Mitchell. If you don't sign him, you got to move him. You thought JB, Mitchell, Garland, maybe one's back. Tell me, Brian, what does this look like moving forward with three number ones going to Utah starting in 2025 every other year and pick swaps in there? If Mitchell doesn't come back, or if you move Garland, how do you add pieces here to make this work, to make it attractive for a guy like Donovan Mitchell or anybody else who you want to bring in to kind of replace Mitchell in that role?
So I think they're much better off if Mitchell signs the extension, because Garland's a guy, you put him out there. First of all, San Antonio's got a lot to give up. I think they would jump on pairing Darius Garland and Victor Wembanyama. I think they'd be all over it. And so the ideal scenario here is to be able to keep Mitchell for the exact reason that you just said, which is that you gave up so much for him. You're going to start losing these picks now down the line, and at least you want to be able to compete with this team while this is happening. So that would be the – because here's the other thing I believe about Mitchell. You'll never get back, I said it earlier, what you gave up. You never will. You bought him at the top of the market. So, and the other thing is, let's face it, spending 2 years in Cleveland and not signing a contract extension and begging out doesn't make him the most attractive trade candidate out there either. Here's another factor that you have to consider. When it comes, listen, Garland's a very, very good player. He's not a megastar. We may have one of the more chaotic, craziest NBA offseasons we've seen in a long time, with guys asking out or teams deciding they've had enough of certain big-time stars. Who knows what happens with Philly and Embiid if they lose tonight to the Knicks? No, I mean, he could very well ask out. That Milwaukee situation is an unmitigated disaster. You could have a possibility of both Giannis and Lillard asking out. That combination didn't necessarily work, and that was, as opposed to being a proactive organization, that was the most reactive organization you've ever seen in just, playing whack-a-mole, trying to hit one thing and another thing crops up, and it doesn't look like a very well-run organization. I don't think Kevin Durant's going to be in Phoenix next year. I think, and that actually may end up being mutual because of their second apron issues. My point is that if now you have to go trade Donovan Mitchell and want to get a load of value, you got to flush market. Like, you know what I mean? You may end up in a situation where a team's going to try to see if they can steal him a little bit, because the teams that be willing to step up with big pick packages for stars are not going to be looking at Donovan Mitchell because of the other four I just mentioned that very well may be available. So that's something else the Cavs could run into here, which again makes Garland as a second-tier guy a lot more attractive, because you're never going to you're not going to get for Garland what you would for Mitchell, but that's okay because Mitchell's the better player. So you keep Mitchell and you craft a trade where maybe it's not 100 cents in the dollar, but it's the right piece pieces to work around Donovan Mitchell. You have that luxury. If you have to go the other way with Mitchell, it becomes an asset drain. And those asset drains wear on organizations and the personnel departments long term. You have to get lucky with something. Like Dallas had an awful asset drain, and Kyrie Irving ended up landing on his feet and playing great this year. Save them. But more times than not, when you have those types of asset drains that Phoenix would go through with trading Durant, where you'll never get back what you gave up for him, when you have those types of asset drains, you know, it's really, really hard for an organization to recover from in the short term, and it becomes a, you know, another long-term situation where you got to hit rock bottom.
Brian, what's going on with LeBron James? Could we see LeBron 3.0 in Cleveland?
I got it. You know, here's what I'll say about LeBron. You got to listen to what he has to say in these post-game press conferences and see through it. LeBron was extremely focused last night in discussing his children. They got roots in L.A., man. All his business interests are in L.A. This is going to be, you know, page one out of the LeBron offseason playbook we're going to see again this year. He's gonna not commit to the Lakers so he can assume as much control over personnel and what they do as possible. And he will hold that over their heads. He does not want to leave L.A., not at this stage of his life. He's not running somewhere else. He made a statement that would indicate to me that he has no desire to leave L.A., where he said, this season I miss too much with my kids as it is. And so I think the LeBron leaving is going to be a non-story to the extent that it's not really going to happen. The story part of LeBron threatening to leave is going to be him stepping on the Lakers' head to trade whatever they can trade to upgrade this roster. And he's going to use the threat of leaving to be able to have him and Rich Paul exercise as much personnel power over Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss as possible.
Including leaving Bronny as a Laker then?
Yeah, listen, I think that's the least of the Lakers' issues. I think if it means drafting Bronny, then they'll draft Bronny. But quite frankly, if you ask me right now, is Bronny going to be in this draft or not be in this draft, I would tell you he's not going to be in this draft. I think what they're doing with Bronny, if he wasn't the son of the most famous basketball player on the planet right now, this would be a really smart move of what they're doing. And I think they're trying to block out the noise, and I credit them for that. Bronny, you know, Bronny gets treated a little bit unfairly publicly based upon what this season was. The kid came back from a major cardiac event, and he played. Give him credit, right? Came out, played, didn't play great, okay? Andy Enfield leaves USC. The James family trusted Andy Enfield. They're moving on from USC. Putting his name in the draft allows NBA executives to look at him against other guys that are going to be in the draft, which he didn't get a ton of playing time this year, and say, listen, kid, this is what you have to work on to be a first-round pick. Understand something about LeBron. LeBron's priority with his son is not just get him on the team with me. If he can get the kid to be a first-round pick and they can end up playing together, wonderful. But a first-round pick's guaranteed money. And LeBron wants him to be a player in the league. And as a second-round pick, he got no guarantees. So I think they've actually put him in the draft so they can get a real deal appraisal and a look at him at the combine playing against other guys and get an idea what he really needs to work on, and then put him in a place in college where he'll get the chance to be on the floor and get playing time. I mean, he was behind Isaiah Kyer and Boogie Ellis this year. He was in a very tough spot. It wouldn't surprise me for him to end up with LeBron's buddy at Duquesne as one of their starting guards with the ball in his hands. And I think that would be a very, very smart move, give him a chance to develop, and maybe he ends up doing something on an NCAA tournament stage.
Brian, as always, thank you so much. Great insight, great unbelievable stuff. We'll be listening for you on SiriusXM NBA Radio. Thank you so much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Guys, thanks for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care. I'll talk to you soon. Brian Geltzeiler on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Wow, Jeff. I mean, a lot of stuff there. A lot of, like, no punches hole.
A lot of big picture stuff there. Yeah.
And he said, I want to dissect some of the things that he had to say, especially about that, you know, Mitchell Garland relationship. Wow. I'm just looking at that going, I can't. I mean, he was not holding anything back. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in. Time now for a 2020.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.